Welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley today. We're very happy to have you here today. Have a few announcements to make. First is that just a reminder that today Dominic Lombardo is getting his eagle in the over in Fellowship Hall at noon. Anybody's welcome to join him over there. So congratulations to Dominic on getting his eagle award. Shop for a Cause is ongoing. It will take place August 23rd. 100% of the ticket sales go to Glenshaw Valley. The $5 passes are available from BJ, who's in the back there. And we have the Deacon's Fellowship Pig Roast coming up on September 7th. Sign-up sheet for food donations are in the back. Today, I just want to let you know that the service is being run by members of Session Council, and our special sermon comes from Paul today. So I'm looking very interesting here what Paul McComb has to say for our sermon today. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our hymn of praise is How Great Thou Art, hymn number 4.
Thank you. Pray together the prayer of confession. Heavenly Father, one of our greatest desires is to daily do your will, but we humbly confess to you that we are limited by our own sinfulness. We are hamstrung by our own self-centeredness. Sometimes we are even weighed down with our own self-righteous sense of morality, rather than a loving, spirit-filled heart. In these times, we fail to respond to your higher law of grace and humble compassion. Have mercy on us, Lord. Empty us of ourselves and replace our hearts of stone with hearts of flesh. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let us offer up our silent prayers to God. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us recite the Apostles' Creed. For those who don't know, it's on the screen or on the back of your hymnal.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us greet one another.
Thank you. Our responsive reading this morning is number 685 in the back of our hymnals. Christian conduct. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God.
Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth.
For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. In these you once walked when you lived in them.
But now put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth.
Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices, and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator.
I have a prayer and praise request for today. Our first is a prayer request from Kathy Sagan for Darren, who is Sandy Salmon's grandson. He got a concussion and neck injury playing at school football. Prayers that he heals quickly and the neck injury is not serious. Next, we have another prayer request from Jim Eichner. This is a prayer for a friend. This person is having multiple medical and legal problems. Hope that he gets the help that he needs. Prayer request from Lynn Love for George Betts. This is her dad. Prayers for good test results. We pray that goes well. And a prayer and praise request from Carol King for an in-law. Praise for our son-in-law's father, Vince, who came through heart surgery. Prayers that he has a good recovery. And finally, I'd like to have a praise request. Marsh and I celebrate our 35th wedding anniversary tomorrow. Please keep all these persons in your prayers.
Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, please hear our prayer requests. You know them without our even mentioning them. But please help us to remember to keep these persons in our prayers this coming week, as we know that your guidance and healing will be what is best, regardless of it is what we expect. Dear God, please remind us when we feel overwhelmed with our burdens and our troubles, and there's no place to turn, that we always have you, the ultimate place to turn. Please help us to use you, to use your grace, to use your guidance, and to use your solace to help us all through these times of trouble. And remind us to thank you for these wonderful, wonderful times of praise. Dear God, help us to remember to pray as you've taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We have a hymn now?
Yes.
Hymn number 59.
Thank you.
that you have bestowed upon us. Blessings every day, both great and small. Some that we just take for granted, don't take time to step back and reflect, and to thank you. Please accept these gifts as our tokens of thanks for the many blessings that you give us, some we don't recognize. And let us use these gifts to continue to do your work here at Glenshaw Valley. In your name we pray. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Matthew 20, verses 29 to 34. Two blind men receive sight. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him.
Good morning. So today is August 17th, and I'm officially announcing that it's Leonard Appreciation Day. And if you don't understand that now, wait about 10 minutes. This is a little bit interactive. So, quick show of hands, how many of you have heard of or know of Peyton Manning, the quarterback for the Denver Broncos? Right. So, Peyton is considered, very hard for me to say, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Maybe even one of the greatest players of all time. And last season, he had a season for the ages. He threw for a record 5,477 yards and 55 touchdowns. Both records. And I bet you thought I was going to talk about another quarterback, but I'm not. So, how about a show of hands for anyone who has heard of Dick Hoyt? Yes. So, Dick is from Winchester, Massachusetts, and over 40 years ago, his son Rick was born. And somehow, Rick's umbilical cord became wrapped around his neck, leaving him brain damaged and unable to control his limbs. The doctors told Rick's parents that he would be a vegetable for the rest of his life. But Dick Hoyt's, Rick's father, didn't believe it. He noticed the way Rick's eyes followed him around the room. When Rick was 11, they took him to the engineering department at Tufts University and asked if there was anything they could do to help Rick communicate. No way. That was the response. There's nothing going on in his brain. Well, Dick said, I don't see that. Tell him a joke. They did, and Rick laughed. It turns out a lot was going on in his brain. So they rigged Rick up with a computer that allowed him to control the cursor by touching a switch with the side of his head. Rick was finally able to communicate. And his first words? Go Bruins. A few years later, after a high school classmate was paralyzed in an accident and the school organized a charity run for him, Rick pecked out, "Dad, I want to do that." Yeah, right. How was Dick, a self-described porker who never ran more than a mile at a time, going to push his son 5 miles? Still, he tried. "Then it was me who was handicapped," Dick says. "I was sore for two weeks, but that day changed Rick's life forever." "Dad," he typed, "when we were running, it felt like I wasn't disabled anymore." And that sentence changed Dick's life forever. He became obsessed with giving Rick that feeling as often as he could. He got into such hard belly shape that he and Rick were ready to try the 1979 Boston Marathon. No way, Dick was told by the race official. See, they weren't a single runner. And Rick didn't qualify for a wheelchair competitor. So for the first 2 years, they just joined the massive field and ran anyways. Later, they would find a way to get into the race officially. And in 1983, they ran another marathon so fast, they made the qualifying time for the Boston Marathon the following year. Then somebody said, "Hey, Dick, why not a triathlon?" How's a guy who's never learned to swim and hadn't ridden a bike since he was six going to haul his 110-pound kid through a triathlon? Still, he tried. To date, they've done more than 200 triathlons, including 4 15-hour Ironman competitions in Hawaii. This past April, the Hoyts ran their 32nd Boston Marathon, and it would be their last. The Hoyts had planned to make the 2013 marathon their last because Dick is 73 and Rick is now 52. And over 200 triathlons and marathon takes a toll on your body. But after the bombings at the finish line and after the Hoyts were among the more than 5,000 runners who were stopped before completing the race, they decided to come back to finish their personal race and to honor the human spirit of those killed and injured at last year's race. It wasn't easy. The Hoyts were moving slowly early on in the race. Slow enough that the race director, Dave, went on his motor scooter to check in on him. The Hoyts plodded on, reaching the half marathon in 3 hours, 19 minutes, and 58 seconds. They were slow and frequently to acknowledge fans. "It wasn't tough out there," said Dick, "but we made it a little tougher because all of our fans out there were encouraging and it was nice to be a part of the unbelievable crowds." It was over 7.5 hours when the Hoyts finally reached the finish line. But they were not alone. Some 20 members of Team Hoyt, the organization they created to help those who are physically disabled become active members of the community, were right there with them. Members of the team, runners of all abilities, first caught up to the Hoyts, who started earlier, and then adjusted their pace so they could finish the marathon together. It was very emotional. What was so nice about the finish is that these people are fast runners, and they waited until we caught up and we came across together. "This is the best day of my life," said a weeping Dana Krashen, a 36-year-old woman who said she had been following the Hoyts for 34 years and who was overwhelmed after joining Team Hoyts Flourish at the finish. The Hoyts inspire surprisingly deep emotion in their fans. As the race director pointed out, there are a lot of inspirational people running in the marathon, but people don't know who they are. Everybody knows the Hoyts. In case you were wondering, their best time was 2 hours 40 minutes in 1992. That's only 35 minutes off the world record, which, in case you didn't keep track of these things, that was held by a guy who was not pushing another man in a wheelchair at the time. So what makes a person truly great? What is greatness? I think if you look back at the scripture, I think either Jesus set the bar really high or we've kind of lost it along the way. Today, our society seems to have laid aside the old virtues and now judges greatness by fame, prestige, power, and wealth. Think about it for a moment, about those that are presented before us as the greatest. Katy Perry, Peyton Manning, Donald Trump, and various TV and movie stars. These are people thought to be great by many because they have fame, prestige, power, wealth, they're visible. Is the ability to impersonate someone else in front of the camera a basis for greatness? Is a person's skill at amassing money a grounds for greatness? Is one's vocal quality and ability to entertain and amuse that person makes him or her great? What about being at the center of power, and whether that be in a business or in politics? Is a person great because they achieve a position of power? Jesus, however, measured greatness in terms of service, not status. God determines your greatness by how many people you serve, not how many people serve you. This is so contrary to the world's idea of greatness that we have a hard time understanding it. It is much less practicing it. The disciples argued about who deserves the most prominent position, and 2,000 years later, Christian leaders still jockey for position and prominence in churches, denominations, and parachute ministries. Thousands of books have been written on leadership, but very few on servanthood. Everyone wants to lead, no one wants to be a servant. We would rather be generals than privates. Even Christians want to be servant leaders, not just plain servants. But to be like Jesus is to be a servant. While knowing your shape is important for serving God, having the heart of a servant is even more important. Remember, God shaped you for service, not self-centeredness. Without a servant's heart, you will be tempted to misuse your shape for personal gain. You will also be tempted to use it as an excuse to exempt yourself from meeting some needs. Popular acclaim certainly is not a test for greatness. For it is, as William Hazlitt said, the true test of greatness is the page of history. Fame comes and goes very quickly, and a person famous in one generation is unknown in the next. Money is not a good test either. For not only does it come and go quickly, but history reveals that the most great men were poor, not wealthy. Special abilities may give a person a day in the sun of popular acclaim and a sense of greatness that is specialized on the field. But just because a person is a great athlete, actor, actress, singer, or politician, or whatever else, that doesn't mean the person is great. Daniel Webster understood the true foundation for greatness when he said, "A solemn and religious regard to spiritual and eternal things is an indispensable element of all true greatness." Men may claim themselves to be great, as did Muhammad Ali, "I am the greatest." And people may say that someone else is great, but the only real judge for greatness is God Himself. So, I'd like to go back to the scripture for just a minute, and I've changed this sermon about 14 times. And I think the part that defined greatness in the scripture was not that Jesus has allowed those two guys to see again, because that's just beyond us. I think the part of greatness in the scripture was when everybody else told the two blind men to be quiet, sit down, stop it. He went against the norm. And he went ahead and he made them see. So I think that's what true greatness is. When I look out today, I see greatness. When you walk into this church, it's an ongoing effort every Sunday to learn, to be great, to serve God, to live life the way He wants us to. And I see greatness in this church. I see greatness in the pews. I see greatness in the hall. And I see greatness in our community. So much negativity is on the news. And my father, love him to death, is that person who thinks that this generation of kids is going to ruin everything. Pull your pants up, turn down your music. They have no respect. No respect. And he lived on a dairy farm most of his life. And he retired, moved to Georgia, and that lasted about 2 days. And he went back to work as a custodian in a school. And when he told me this, I said, "This is a disaster. This is not going to work, Dad." And he complained about the kids every day. Same old thing. pull your pants up, no respect, they don't have a clue, they don't know what manners are, it's just the worst. And he's had a few run-ins with some kids, but he was valued as a worker, so they changed his schedule. He now works from 2 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., where he does not have to interact with any kids. So, about a week ago, he called me, and he said, you know what? I'm proud of these kids in the school. I can't... Exactly. I dropped my cell phone. I said, you know, where's my father? You know, who is this person? In Chesity High School in Gainesville, Georgia, which started out as a simple protest, gained a little bit of national recognition when a student who was an atheist in this school challenged prayer at the high school, specifically around the football team. The football team started its practice with prayer. During the games, they had prayer, shirts with prayer, and the student wasn't even on the football team. But it gained a lot of momentum, and it turned into a lawsuit against the school board to get prayer out of Chesity, one student. And lo and behold, it wasn't the parents, the PTO, it wasn't the teachers. The students started to hold morning prayer services on the football field, organized by the students. To me, they went against the norm, the today, the society where, you know, it's about bling, it's about what you have, not who you are. Looked at the lawsuit and said, not us, not today, not now. And they continued to hold the morning prayer vigils. And for my father, who stayed to observe from a distance, first time he said, they're probably going to leave a mess, so I'm going to have to clean up. But the fact that it's there, and you're not going to hear about it on the news. You know, we only hear about the doom and gloom. It's there, and it's up to us. And we don't have to throw 6 touchdowns on Sunday, or we don't have to sell 1 million records, or have 47 million Twitter followers like Katy Perry. It's about being true to God, true to each other, and true to ourselves. Thank you very much for your time. We have a closing hymn of Glorify Thy Name. Thank you.
today or go next door. Remember, it's not about the touchdowns. It's about I am third. The Lord first, friends and family second, I am third.
Thank you.